That was an excellent lesson by Brother Bill, and I appreciate it, but it shortened mine just a bit. We hit the same theme in one aspect, so can't draw it out. Just give what I've got. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll be looking there in just a second. But I want to begin by saying that we look around Bill mentioned it, when you want to start a sermon, you know, we tend to look for something big, something that everybody knows about in order to introduce a sermon or introduce a lesson. But as we come to study God's Word, we come to realize that the Scriptures utilize little things from time to time to teach us both positive and negative lessons. So today I want to examine a few of the little things that have spiritual application, I think, to our lives as God's people. For example, let us consider just two meetings we will see in the Scriptures that help us to understand little things can be positive. They can be negative, and we'll look at some of them. And that's where Bill stepped all over my sermon. But we can look at the positive things to begin with. So turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. And here we have Elijah the prophet meeting the widow of Zarephath because of the drought that Elijah predicted. Now let's read verses 10 through 16. 10 through 16. As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where no master... No, I'm on 18. I want 17. 17. Okay. Starting with verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her whole household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. You know, this widow faced a desperate situation. She had just a little to feed her son and herself to stave off death. But Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Do not fear. Continue gathering, but give me a little water and a small cake and make some for you and your son." You know, the widow could have rejected Elijah, but she did not. She listened, and she did what she could with the little that she had. Now think about that lesson. When we go out and teach and preach the gospel sometimes, or we're having a Bible study with someone, we hope that we have everything, all the knowledge and everything that's going to come up with questions that may come up. We hope we have all of that, because we just fear sometimes. But you know what? All of us have something, just a little something that we can say. And that is how we came to know the Lord and how we came to be saved. That's all we have to tell. That's it. We don't need to have all the knowledge in our head to teach people the gospel who have not obeyed the gospel. It's a lesson for all of us. She had just a little, and she listened. And what did she get from it? Blessings. Blessings from God. And when we preach or teach, regardless of whether we have all the knowledge we need to answer a particular question, if we're talking to someone who needs the Lord in their lives, who has been baptized, we only need a little. How did we come to know the Lord? And what has it done for us? The second event that I want us to look at is in 2 Kings chapter 5. This is an incident with Naaman that we have heard many times. It involves, of course, Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, and he had leprosy. And it so happens that on a raid, the Syrians brought back a captive girl from the land of Israel. And so let's just read verse 2 in the King James Version in chapter 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Some versions say a little girl. A little girl that it happens that they brought back. And other versions call her a young girl. She told her mistress all that she knew. Just a little bit. She told her mistress that a prophet in Israel could cure Naaman of leprosy. Now, we know the rest of the story. Eventually, Naaman came and was cured of his leprosy, but not immediately. Let's read verses 11 through 15 now. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Behold, indeed, I had said to myself, he will surely come out to me." And he's talking about the prophet. "He will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the palace, and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abanon and the Farfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My master, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" And then look what the individuals there who were with him said. If he would have done something great, told you something great, would you not have done it? He didn't, obviously, he didn't do that. He just told him, wash and be clean. So he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know, the little girl told him only what she knew. That was it. She couldn't elaborate. She just said, "I know a prophet that can heal your leprosy." And that's all she said, just a little bit. And look what it led to. It led to Naaman having his leprosy washed away. You know, the point I want to make in these two examples is that there are events in life that may start out little, but if we trust God, in the end, they may have far-reaching consequences and blessings that we never imagined could come our way. It doesn't take a whole lot. It takes just a little. A little listening and doing what is said, a little teaching, just pointing someone in the right direction. That's all it takes. The proverb writer points to four things in chapter 30 in verses 24 through 28 that teaches us little things can and are wise to consider. Turn with me to Proverbs. And let's just look at some of what we got here. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30, and let's read verses 24 through 28. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Little things that teach us wisdom, that are exceedingly wise. They are The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with his hands, and it is in kings' palaces. When I read something like this, it sort of stimulates my mind to think about what these lessons would be here. When I think about, for example, preparing for Bible class or coming into worship service, we need to acknowledge that the lack of preparation over time can weaken our resolve to follow Christ as he instructs. We need to be cautious, I believe, in thinking that we are strong and just a little thing won't harm our spiritual life. So while we look at the little things that can be positive, like the little animals that we're talking about here, the ants are people not strong, but I'll tell you what, they teach us a lesson. And that is, we need to prepare. We need to prepare. We need to prepare, even though it may not take us very long. We need to be prepared. But we need to be cautious, I think, in our thinking that we are strong and that just a little thing won't harm our spiritual health. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Bill did a good lesson on... Bill did an excellent lesson on Solomon. So I'm not going to take a lot of time to go through a lot. But what I do want us to think about in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 is, what was the attitude of Solomon? Bill gave us lots about Solomon and what he did, but what was his attitude? Let's read verses 16 and 17. I communed with my heart, saying, and this is Solomon, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. What did Solomon think about himself? When he says, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem, my heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. He had a lot of confidence in himself. A lot of confidence. He could endure anything. And so what did he do? He said, I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is grasping for the wind. He said, look, I have got tremendous wisdom. And so I can do folly. I can test a little folly. And what did it lead him to? It led him to be not just a good king like his father David, but he went down the path where he was led astray, as Bill so adequately pointed out. Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Solomon wrote that. Solomon, who said back here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, I have attained greatness and gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. Folly. Solomon wrote that just a little stain in the perfumer's ointment putrefies it, causes to give off a foul odor. And look what he said. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. What did Solomon think about himself? He thought he had tremendous wisdom. And what lesson did he learn when he said, I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly? He learned that even a little folly, not a lot, just a little. We learn from Solomon how a little folly can lead to damaging a respectful life. Do not allow your good name as a Christian to be spoiled by a little folly. We cannot dabble in just a little and think, well, I'm okay. We can't. It's a good name as a Christian to be spoiled. And I'll tell you what, it's not worth it. So don't even take a step in that direction. Don't even take a step. Just a little folly. We may think, oh, I know, I'm strong, I can endure, I won't let it really affect me that much. Well, Solomon thought he could endure too. But just a little folly, he says. A little folly can ruin everything. And that's what happened to Solomon. So we need to be cautious of thinking that we can do it. You know, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15, the brothers of the Shulamite woman said, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." The pulpit commentary observed this passage this way: foxes, jackals, little foxes are very common in Palestine and are particularly fond of grapes. They burrow in holes in hedges around the garden and, unless strictly watched, would destroy the whole vineyard. And here's another lesson for us. There is simply no room to accept just a very small, itsy-bitsy turn to the left or right. We learned that from Solomon. We learned that from these little animals in Palestine. We learn that just a little can completely ruin the whole vineyard. And we can't let that get into our lives. That's the message that Bill brought. That's the message that I want us to understand. The final figure of a little thing we learn from the scriptures has to do with bread. Bread makers know what leaven is. It is a substance, typically yeast, that is added to dough to make it ferment and rise. And Paul used this to make a point in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verses 6 and 7. Now these things... Oh, that's 4. 6 and 7. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. The perversive influence of sin, brethren, left unchecked, even a little, can grow to a point that affects all those around it. The perversive influence has to be removed or avoided. Solomon said, just a little folly. Just a little. I am so smart. I am so strong that just a little folly, let me test it. And it led him down a path that was unbelievably wrong with respect to what God wanted. The Lord warned of this in Matthew 16. Turn with me there. Matthew 16. In verses 5 through 12. Matthew 16, 5 through 12. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you look up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up. How is it that you don't understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus was not talking about bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The point he was making is that error, in this case, their doctrine, is to the soul what cancer is to the human body. We cannot think that a little error is a little thing. It is not. It is as leaven, and it spreads and permeates what it touches. And look around at the religious world today. Some of them, where they're at today, started with just a little change. That's all. Just a little itsy bitsy change. Oh, just a little itsy bitsy step to the right or to the left. That's not all that bad. And what happens? It leads and leads and leads till you can't even find the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It is the doctrine of men and what they believe. Paul makes this point in Galatians 5, verses 1 through 9. With regard to those in Galatia returning the old law, turn with me to Galatians 1 through 9. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace, for we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness and faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails nothing but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What is the warning for Paul that Paul was making here? What is the warning? The warning. For though the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness faith, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision fails anything, but faith working through love. And what they wanted to do was just one aspect, just one little aspect of teaching from the old law. Just one little one. That's not going to hurt anything. And what does Paul say? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Brethren, there are little things that we can do that advance the kingdom of Christ. Just letting someone know what they can do to be saved. Just repeating what happened to you. Just little things can advance the word of Christ. But just as equally, just a little leaven, just a little turn from the word of God can lead to something far, far worse. Our task is to identify and catch the little things in our lives that are not consistent with God's word. If we don't, the vineyard that expresses who we are will be ruined. It may not be ruined in our lifetime, but I'll tell you, the far-reaching consequences will reach into the lives of our children and our grandchildren if we're not careful. We are to express in our lives those little things that will touch others' lives in such a way that provide nourishment, encouragement to their souls. And we are to avoid those little itsy-bitsy changes for the sake of what we believe is something greater, if it's not in accordance with the Word of God. That's my lesson. all the examples that I was going to give you about Solomon, I refer you to Bill. If you're here today and you've never named the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus in your life, if you've understand who Jesus is, who Jesus was, and what he does for us, if you understand that, then you understand that you need to confess him before this audience this very moment. And if you understand what repentance is, that it's a change in your life, you're ready. You're ready to be baptized. Down in that water grave of baptism and come up and begin a new life. And if you've been done that, but you have need of the saints, some encouragement, some prayer, let us know. We want to help. Let us know as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.